sounds like it. It sounds like it. Well, I do look forward to having you back. Thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If I could ever be of help with all the different ministries and orgs that you're in,
hi, this
is
Pastor
let
Greg,
me know.
And you're listening to Chosen
that.
Generation oh, Radio.
Absolutely.
Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com.
How would I
That's
reach
Chosen
you?
Chosen Generation Radio, where you no topic is off limits and everything filtered yep. through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. By contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights,
I will do that.
I am Patriot Mobile.
Yeah. I will do that. God bless you. Thank you. Take care, Kathy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind
Can
of material
me,
at that age, frankly, yeah, it's child abuse.
You? You're going to teach our children.
For a guy that got in a fight with a truck and one, I'm doing very
age,
well.
Of any sex, oh to have God, sexual intercourse today? With each
no,
other.
No, it'll be 6 years this next
present.
Week, one and I died four times, broke every bone in my body except my shoulders, my elbows, and my right hip. I spent 6 weeks on life support.
Okay,
3 months in the hospital, and I'm still doing physical therapy today.
Your children, but they're right, not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It has been exceptional incredible what God has done with the testimony. We're in Punjab, India, where we've planted 750 churches.
From birth.
We've put in 41 freshwater wells. We've established four sewing schools for widows.
Sexual pleasure.
We have an orphanage and a Bible school in Amritsar.
And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information.
I don't believe so because we've never really met before.
Yeah, and once those that poison is in a child's mind, doesn't leave.
Okay,
they'll always
sure.
remember what they learned. And it's by design. It's orchestrated.
Okay, hang on a minute.
Yeah. But is it under the label Chosen Generation?
In my humble opinion,
Chosen Generation Radio is the website. And then I also have a website that is CG4i.com, which is Chosen Generation for India.
And help me out, are you in Punjab?
No,
I am Kim
Schaff,
certified natural health practicer of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life.
Trip,
the product is called Vibe, available at CGRWellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered
Skype,
Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin
and
mineral tablet,
really
wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin
and
mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's full-pressed, full-food source, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body, cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clearer. Even
so
believe I slept better.
Again,
get yours
Jeff.
Today at CGRWellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20
so
off your first order of $50 or more. That's CGRWellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Nicotine products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should chew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past
were
not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
So... All right, here we go. 7 seconds, sir. And I'm on the advisory board for Save the Persecuted Christians as well, just FYI.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Is she out in Cali? Is that who that is?
Dee Dee Augustin in Colorado. Here we go. And Frank Gaffney. Here we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And folks, as you know, and I talk about this on the program, welcome, hour number three. Bottom of this hour, we will be going live with our India Outreach Service. We do the first half hour here on the network, and then we carry it over onto our social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook at Chosen Generation Radio Show. You can also find it my personal Facebook, where Facebook has decided to label me as a digital creator. They just did that. I don't know. But anyway, it's Dose Ghost Man. That's D-O-S-E-G-H-O-S-T-M-A-N, like a dose of the Holy Ghost. Was predicated on a holy hip-hop show that I did in the early 2000s called A Dose of the Ghost. And then we're also on Clout Hub and on Getter at Pastor Greg CGR. So you can check us out there. Follow us over. Of course, you can watch us right now at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and continue to listen at our Listen Live link, because we will maintain the audio portion for you as you listen to the service as well. All right, I'm very pleased to welcome to the program. This is the first time that I've had the pleasure of having him with us on the show, and I'm very grateful to have him. He also is fighting back against persecution against our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world at persecution.org. I want to welcome Jeff King to the program. Jeff, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, pleasure to be with you, Greg.
So, Jeff, for purposes of introduction and what have you, tell my audience about what got you engaged in the international struggle against Christian persecution, what drew you into that fight?
Okay, Greg, that's the first hour. Is that it?
There you go. Yeah. We'll try the Reader's Digest version, right?
I'll try. Trying to get to pastoring. I'm not a pastor, but you know.
I understand. I know. I get it.
Yeah. So I'll try to run through this quick. I got radically saved in college. I was a radical pagan, got radically saved. Loved ministry, but I'm like, I can't be poor, so I can't go into ministry. So I went into banking, went into corporate banking, then went into mortgage banking. And the straw that broke the camel's back, I made twice what other people were making in a year. I made it in a month, and that was like fine. I was like, well, it doesn't matter. I just don't care. Got a calling, went into Campus Crusade, was running all over the world.
Sure.
But with a real emphasis on gospel into closed countries and security in closed countries, how to get churches into closed countries.
Okay.
I'm 11 years in Crusade, and my support starts to run out. You have to raise your own support. My support starts to run out, and I'm trying everything to do to fix it. I can't fix it. And then finally I realize, you know, the Lord's pulling me out of here. And I assume he's going to take me back to secular work, which on the one hand, I'm not going to be poor, but on the other hand, I'm like, that's not what I want to do. I'm out in Cali. I have meetings with the Jesus film. I go to sleep one night, and during the night, I have this dream. And in this dream, I'm talking to an imaginary businessman, and I call him Bill. And I'm talking to him on the phone. I decide to go by his office. His office is a little classic 1940 Silver Spring home where I'm from. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And, you know, I pull up to this home, to this office home. All his workers are standing outside. I roll down the window. I'm like, hey, guys, where's Bill? And they're like, Bill's gone. I'm like, well, where is he? I was just talking to him. They're saying, no, he's gone. He's dead. This is all the dream. He's not dead. I was just talking to him. He's not dead. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. And this is all in the dream. And then they say, they get agitated. They say, look, we're really scared. He's gone. He dropped him. Would you run the business? And I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of all I remember from the dream. It's just another weird dream, right? I wake up and I'm in Cali, but just out on a business trip. And a long-term friend and supporter calls me. And she said, listen, my husband and I are connected to this organization. Their founder just dropped in. And all I can think is you're the guy that's supposed to run this thing. Are you interested? That's what I said.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Actually, I was just like, oh my gosh. So that's how I got into the persecution business. I was very connected internationally. I knew the international scene. I knew a decent amount about secure countries. But persecution was, I knew very little, but that's what the Lord brought me into.
That is really awesome. That's so cool how God works with regards to dreams. Really quickly, because I don't want it to take from your time, but so 2004, before my accident, I was given 3 to 6 months to live. And I was green and yellow from head to toe and gray. Literally, my endocrine system collapsed. My pituitary gland and my adrenal gland stopped working. Quit.
From stress?
It was stress. I had a very successful subrogation business. And 9/11 killed me. I had over almost $250,000 in projects that I was working on, cash out. And they all just dried up. They were gone. Yeah. And then 60% of my business went away overnight. So in 14 months, I lost it all. I had to let go of 65 employees. Yeah. We had to sell the house in order to cover the attorney's fees in order to shut the company. It was a mess. Yeah. And so I was in the best shape of my life, 42 years old, 217 pounds, 13% body fat, benching 355, working out 6 days a week. Okay. And all of a sudden I get pericarditis, which is the swelling of the lining of the heart. Then I got umbilical hernia surgery. Then I got gallbladder surgery that turned into a liver infection. Then I got shingles. Then I got pneumonia. Then I got pleurisy.
And you were already saved. This is usually the journey.
Oh, I was saved. No, I'd been saved for years. I was an elder in the church. I had been loving God for a long time. And I'm given 3 to 6 months to live. So here's where the dream comes in. I went to Nigeria in 2002, right before I closed the business down. I went with the Romines. I don't know if you know who they are, Greg and Cindy Romine. Greg Romine was the first international youth director for Foursquare. And they've been in international ministry for years and years and years, Doctors Greg and Cindy Romine. So at any rate, so I go with them, but before I leave, I have a dream. And I'm not a dream person. My wife, she's the dream person. God speaks to her in dreams. I'm too dense. So when I was a teenager, I was at a non-charismatic church, but I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I built an altar to God in my woodshop class, burned candles and incense, lying on the ground, face down in front of the altar, and saying, God, I want more of you. And Campus Crusade for Christ played a big role. Bill Bright came to our First Covenant Church in Oakland, teaching the four spiritual laws, and he brought along a little book, a blue book with a white dove on it, to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nothing really happened when I prayed that prayer, okay? But I'm lying there, and all of a sudden, I begin praying in another language. Didn't know anything about it, didn't go to a charismatic church, but got full of the Holy Ghost. From that point on, I could hear the voice of the Lord in my head. I knew what his voice was, and he would talk to me. I know that may sound crazy to some people, but for me, I was, look, if he did it, Jeff, if he talked to me cryptically, I'd be lost. Okay. I don't get cryptics. I just don't. My wife is incredible with that stuff. I'm just, I'm a dummy. You got to just tell me. Okay. Just tell me. Anyway, but I have this dream, and in this dream, I'm lying in this place. And it's like a little parlor with diamond tuck, you know, furniture and all this stuff. And there's this woman, she's at my feet, and she says to me, we've helped many others, and we can help you. Now, Jeff, you've got to understand, I'm not sick yet. I'm not sick yet. I'm healthy as a horse. I am not sick yet. But she says this, and then I am now transformed into her kitchen. She's sitting on the counter. There's a swinging white door, and I'm dressed in white. I'm bigger than I've ever been, which I actually am right now, bigger than I've ever been in my life. But I'm bigger than I've ever been, dressed in white. I've got boots on, but a little bit of flour on the boots. And she points to the door, and she says, they're waiting for you. I push the door open, and there's people there. I can't even count. Just crowds. And then I wake up. I've remembered this dream since 02. In 04, I'm given 3 to 6 months to live. They send me home to die. And because of this holy hip-hop show and guest hosting a Christian program out of Sacramento called The 11th Hour that used to be on, it was taped in Modesto and played in Sacramento. Executive producer was Sandy Swanson. And Sandy, the Holy Spirit says, go. My wife is like, you're nuts. How are you going to get there? You can't. You're look how sick you are. You're not. How are you going to even get there? I said, honey, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit just told me to go see Sandy. I do, and she connected me with a naturopath, and we started using natural medicine. It's how I got involved in deliverance ministry through Freedom Encounters, which I'm still actively involved in. I help people with deliverance. Ed Smith's Theophostic, I went through that, and Neil Anderson's Bondage Breakers.
Yeah.
And so those were all steps along the way to my recovery.
Yeah.
And then George Barna, it's funny, he came out and we were visiting, and he's a friend, and he said to me after my accident, he said, well, obviously you didn't have a big enough testimony.
Love it.
But the naturopathics that I've been taking and still take to this day, the naturopathics that I take, and there's stuff on my shelf back here behind me as well, that stuff in being in my body is what stabilized my adrenal gland and my pituitary gland. They actually discovered in acute care rehab, doing the blood work, the doctor comes in one morning and he says to me, I know you survived the accident, but what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to survive. I said, oh, okay. He said, your adrenal gland and your pituitary gland are not functional. And I laughed. And he was like, okay, what do you know that I don't know? And I said, well, it's been that way for 18 years.
Oh, they shut down and they stayed down.
Yeah. And so he said, well, whatever you've been doing, you need to do. And they signed my naturopathics in to their pharmacy and administered those to me because they didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
But the vision that I had was the woman at the naturopathic store. It was her in my dream.
Yeah.
And that provided the evidence to my wife to say, okay, we'll take some money out of the sale of the house and we'll spend it with this woman to help get you healthy.
And you're saying the face of that woman, when you went to this store, you're like, oh my gosh, that's the woman. Exactly. Yeah. The Lord still works in dreams, as you know. And it's interesting because that's the first, I'm pretty sure that was the first time anything else would pale in comparison. But I prayed for probably 4 years for that, for the Lord to speak to me through dreams, because you know it's biblical.
Yep.
And I'm like, and I just always want to hear his voice. I'm always listening. And then, so I prayed for 3 or 4 years, and then bam, that's what happened. So,
all right. So you take it over, and we're probably going to have about eight more minutes roughly left, but you'll be back. You'll be back. Because India, the folks in India are going to be going, Pastor, we need you now. We got the audience, you know, everybody's here. We're ready. But so, So now you come into this thing in California. The founder has passed away. And now you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, what are the next steps? And Lord, what direction do you want us to go? What were some of the things that popped up right away that you were like, ah, okay, here's a direction.
Yeah. So I took over. It was functioning at a very low level. My predecessor had been amazing. And we were in D.C. We're still in D.C.
Okay.
And he'd been very connected on the Hill. So very connected with senators, congressmen, taking him over. So the striking thing. So first of all, Greg, the first thing loud and clear is, I would say there's two things. There's the two whispers. And the Lord kept saying, he kept whispering to me, You must learn from the person. They have vital lessons, and it's not just for you. They're for the church, and you must shout them. You must learn them and shout them. So Greg there, you know, I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right, I'm ready. Go ahead. Give me a lesson, you know, and I'm watching. It probably takes 10 years, and we could probably get back to that because let me answer your first question. That would be a good one for this second show. But so I am examining, I'm going over all the files and looking at where persecution's happening, what's happening. And during that time, we were still in the period of a great persecution in Indonesia. And basically the Saudis had been seeding radical terrorist groups, radical Islamic groups, boarding schools, everything all over the world, and basically taking over the whole theological Muslim movement all over the world, and then including armed terrorist groups. So all people know is they start to see radical Islamic groups, terror groups doing things.
Right.
But Genesis was Saudis working in the background all that time. And so basically there was a small incident in Indonesia, and then the mosques all go crazy and they say, we're going on jihad. And this is, Greg, probably about 97. And so from 97 up till, I don't know, 2004, 5, it really kind of petered out. You know, all heck broke loose and hell was unleashed. And I remember videos of, you know, thousands of Muslims walking through the streets in white robes. It looks like the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
Marching through the streets. And what they're doing is going down to the harbor to get on boats and to go attack Christian islands. And there they would rape and pillage and murder. And so I'm looking at videos, I'm looking at pictures from when my founder had been in there and his touring the islands. And I'm seeing, Greg, I'm seeing pictures of one, you know, it's just with me for the duration. It was a Christian boy, 8 or 9 years old, and he had been decapitated.
And
was lying in the grass. His eyes are still open. That's how fresh it happened, and he had seen this. And then I saw newspaper clippings. There was a one where Muslims are walking through the streets, and they have a head of a Christian on a pole, and there's a cop slapping them on the back, giving them a big thumbs up. And so I went in and toured soon after that, and what I saw was just something unbelievable where, you know, the government was involved in the Christian villages. They'd be up in the mountains, and the radicals would take tanker trucks of kerosene and go up in the mountains. They'd have bulldozers because Christians would fell the trees in the jungle, giant trees to block.
Right.
They could build a bulldozer, push them away. The radicals come in. They spray the whole village with kerosene.
And then set it on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. That's after they have 16-wheelers where they steal everything, and then they light everything on fire.
Yeah.
And that's not counting all the rape and the pillaging and the murder.
And if I might interject, I know you're saying radical, and I appreciate that. But the truth of the matter is, this is what their book says. This is their belief. This isn't radical. These are people who are following. Yeah, you don't have to use that here on this program. These are people who are following the belief system. The good news is that's the difference between our God and their demon. Is our God's, that's not how we convert people.
I'm being political when I say radical, because
right.
Here's the interesting thing about Muslims is that most of them don't really know who their leader is.
True.
So
a lot of them don't. Yep.
They think of him like we think of Jesus. They don't really know the history, and what's been fed to them has been shaped in a certain way. Well, he's God, so that's okay. So they think of him like Jesus, and it's a real disconnect. We say, well, wait a minute, because these actions are this, let's say this is murder, this is that. And you're like, and so it's a real weird moment. And it turns out that I've had radicals talk to me, radicals that get saved later on. And they said, the deeper I went, so then they start to understand at a deeper level what this religion is about, what their leader's about, what the doctrine's about. And they said, the deeper I went into Islam, the worse of a human being I became, because they were obeying the radical dictates.
Right.
And created, and ISIS, Greg, as you know, that created a major fork in the road for a lot of Muslims, because they woke up and they said, oh my gosh, because these guys are saying glory to God as they're killing people and chopping their heads off.
Allah Akbar. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll cite the passages from the Quran and from the Hadiths.
Yep.
And so a lot of Muslims said, wait a minute. So most people won't buy into that. Plenty will, but there's a huge spectrum within Islam. So that's where it is radical. But it's, to your point, it's fundamentalist.
Right. You know, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's the traditional belief system. Well, and we need to understand in the West the danger of the mosque. What is the mosque? What is the purpose of a mosque? When they're establishing mosques in your city, you have to understand what that's about. It's a military outpost. Ultimately, that's its goal.
Yeah, perhaps depending on what type of mosque it is. But to your point, I think it's, I'm trying to remember the stat, I think it's maybe three quarters are controlled. Ultimately, they're funded and controlled by the Saudis. And that's what people have no idea. But you start digging and follow the money trail, and then you'll understand why so many have popped up that are beyond the population of the Muslim population. Mm. And the only thing I'd say, though, is I always want to say, look, the Muslim is not our enemy.
Well, that yes. No, I don't say this to propagate any hatred. But we do need to be clear in understanding the dangers of what we are facing. And some of the stories, I have friends that were in Lebanon, when it fell, I have friends that were, had missionary friends where their kids played together until the night before. And they were actually, the father came over and said, if you don't leave right now,
tomorrow
morning, we're going to come over and we're going to slaughter you and your family.
Yeah. So here's the thing that's the problem with what you and I know about Islam. So we've had a long time to digest it and think about it. So sometimes I'm a little more careful with broad audiences, because when you share this stuff, it'll make people hate. It'll inflame them.
And it can.
Right?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But the thing I always say is, like, look, Islam is a trap. It was a trap created by the enemy to enslave these people and to keep the truth out. And praise God they're coming to our shores where we can get to them. Now we're getting to them through satellite TV everywhere in the Middle East.
Well, and when you talk about, we're going to run out of time here, but when you talk about dreams and visions.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands and thousands of imams are having, because that's a big part of their belief system, is to get a vision. Yeah. And the vision they're getting is a vision of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge conversion. My friend Kamal Saleem, that he talks about that. He talks about civilization jihad. He talks about the dangers. But then he also talks about, how do we reach them? How do we speak to them? How do we give them? And, his story is amazing, how he was saved, because he was here performing civilization jihad, gets in a car accident, gets taken in by a Christian family.
There you go.
And it changed his life. And now he's been a minister for 25 years.
And that's the thing they don't see. And that's what will change them, the love, because Allah, there is no love.
No love. Yep.
And when they see Jesus, if they see Jesus in you, and they're very susceptible to love, they're very hospitable, very relational people. Yeah. So if you love on them, that's what you can argue all day long, and that has its effect. But you come with love and show them, and that breaks hearts and turns them to Christ.
Amen.
Over and over. And, oh, my gosh, all the martyr stories of converts, of Muslim converts that I've read or even, been introduced to. It's the love of Jesus they saw in that Christian that broke them and drew them to the Lord. So that's what
we're here. Here, yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Persecution.org is the website. Persecution.org. Yes, and you can learn more about what Jeff and his organization are doing to address this issue. And the rights of believers around the world as well, which is, 380 million Christians right this minute are being persecuted. 380 million around the world right now are being persecuted. It's the entire population of the United States of America.
Yeah, and we should get into that next time, just getting people to understand the spectrum.
Yep. Absolutely.
What are we seeing? It's like we got to wake people up and say, you got to understand what you're seeing. We could talk about that later. I'd love to.
Hear, hear. Jeff, thanks.
I just invited myself back on your show.
No, no, no. We're good. I'll work with my team and we'll get you booked back on. No, okay. I look forward to it. I really do.
Absolutely.
And I'll hang tight for just a minute. Folks, yeah. We're going to take a little break. We will be coming back with our India ministry right after this. So please stay tuned for that, and we'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Let me play. I've got a – there we go.